We continue in worship. We have the opportunity to turn towards the scriptures. We're here on Pentecost Sunday, and we're going to be reading the Pentecost scripture found in the book of Acts, the second chapter, verses 1 through 21. It says, "When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as a fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem, and at this sound the crowd gathered was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, 'Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you. And listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.'" This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. God, we give you thanks for this time together. We thank you for your word for us for today, for the ways in which you're at work in our life, and for the promise and the power of the Holy Spirit that encourages us and sustains us and empowers us to do your work today. God, I ask that you speak through me and in spite of me, that your word might be proclaimed and we might hear what you would have to say to us today. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen. In his book, Selling Water by the River, Shane Hipps writes a section called "The Wind Doesn't Need a Sail." It says, "Given the tendency for Jesus to mess with our religious boundaries, assumptions, and attachments, perhaps we would be wise to remember that Jesus and the religion that bears his name are not the same thing. If Christ is the wind, then Christianity is a sail. You'll find a lot of sails and boats at a sailing regatta." We're about to head to Corpus Christi this week for annual conference, and we're right there on the coast, and there's all these boats and sailboats there, and we get to see that. "The shapes and the size of each sail varies, and some are much better than others at catching the wind. Some sailors are much better at wielding the sail. But there's only and always one wind. It shows no loyalty or favoritism. A sailor could paint the word wind on the boat's sail, claiming that this sail belongs to the wind. Nothing is wrong with this, but the wind will not belong to that sail any more than the sun would claim to depend on the earth. A sail without wind is merely a limp flag, but wind without a sail is still the wind, as I look out and watch the flag blow. The relationship is only one way. Just because Christianity claims Jesus as its own does not mean that Jesus claims Christianity as his own. Christ does not bind himself to a religion any more than the wind binds itself to a sail. Nor is Jesus opposed to religion any more than the wind is opposed to sails. He can do his work with or without religion. Christians are given the privilege of participating with him in this work, but we are not entitled to this participation merely because our religion bears his name. Our participation is born of our behaviors and actions, not of the name we give ourselves or claims as our own. The Christian religion, with all its doctrines, dogmas, rituals, and rules, is a sail, not the wind, a form of movement, not the force. But as sails go, I think it has the greatest potential to harness the wind. I think that's why we're all here and belong to the Christian faith. But over my years as a Christian, I've learned that the sail is about as useful as the one who wields it. No matter how great the sail, it can be misused or made worthless or even harmful if in the hands of an unskilled sailor. At times, I've been guilty of loosening the sail until it misses the wind entirely, only to stall the boat. I've also been guilty of pulling the sail in so white-knuckled tight that the boat capsizes, leaving me cold and causing damage to my boat and the boats around me. He says that a proper relationship between the sail and the wind is crucial. We must never make idle of the sail and thereby miss the wind. But it is also a mistake to say that the sail doesn't matter. Without a sail, the wind is difficult to catch. So we must learn to look first for the wind and then to wield our sail with responsiveness and wisdom. Hold on too tight and we capsize. Let the sail out and we halt our movement in the world. It's not the sail, but the wind that we're after. As you can figure out, on this Pentecost Sunday, the sail is the church, the people of God gathered. The wind is Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit blowing. I love this section because it challenges me to think of things in new ways. And I think that there are so many times that, well, the church tries to control the wind instead of simply allowing the wind to direct the church. I think sometimes the church tries to control the sail so much that we keep it from catching the wind. I think sometimes a church can decorate the sail, paint it, put shiny things on it, put it in a case to marvel at, instead of allowing the wind to utilize it, to go places, to meet people, to transform the world. I think sometimes the church can create a sail that thinks it will attract a certain type of person or writer instead of creating a sail that will be for all people. This morning, Pentecost Sunday, is 50 days following Easter, the resurrection of Jesus. It's a time in which the Holy Spirit sweeps into the room and stirs things up a little bit, or a lot. It's the birthday of the church. 120 followers all of a sudden felt the foundations shake below them, disrupting them, moving them forward to an unexpected future of witnessing and serving the Lord. The church grew and expanded and blew like a mighty wind across a perfectly placed sail. And so as we gather today, we're not only resurrected people who have been redeemed by the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus, but we're a people filled with the Holy Spirit that sustains us and guides us and leads us into challenging and new opportunities. God met them right where they were, whatever language they spoke. God didn't say that only one language could be used to proclaim his word, but it speaks to the very languages and the differences that bring the people together and make them one. The church emerges by the Holy Spirit, calling believers to be witnesses to what God has done and will do in Christ, and calls us to be vessels that invites people into relationship, incorporating strangers into family, overleaping boundaries of race and gender and language and class, and making the body of Christ, utilizing all people and all gifts and all graces and all our mistakes and all our failures, that we might learn and grow from one another and accept everyone to participate in God's work in the world. What God did through the Holy Spirit to engage us in a risky, bold, difficult ministry of transformation, bigger than we could do on our own. You see, if we always just did what we thought we could do, then how would we make room for the one who wants to do more than we could ever dream or imagine? So we just got off the plane last night from spending a week at Disneyland and Universal Studios. My watch said I walked 100,000 steps in 4 days. That's about 50 miles, I don't know. But there were so many people there from all over the world together in these epicenters of entertainment, walking around, all kinds of languages being spoken, to have their imaginations widened and their hearts filled with happiness and joy. Coming from so many places around the world to seek happiness and joy in imagination. I think people are hungry and constantly seeking the unimaginable. They're constantly seeking more and greater things than the everyday mundane lifestyle in which we can get stuck. And I think the church, I'm always thinking about the church and the body and doing things and how do we reach more people and what's our mission. And I think the church has the greatest mind-blowing mission and desire for the world around us, even bigger than Disney. And it's based on making heaven earth as it is in heaven. A place of unconditional love and eternal life for when our time on earth is complete. Disney does a good job with the unconditional love part. But the church offers eternal life when our time on earth is complete. Is there anything more mind-blowing than that? God desires the church to confuse the world around us as they did in the scriptures, and the world gets it wrong all the time. Sometimes the world can confuse courage with crazy. They can confuse faithful with foolish, and sometimes they can even confuse ambitious with alcoholic. See, Jesus desires us to be courageous, faithful, and ambitious people to do more than we could ever thought we were able to do, so that we might feel and acknowledge Jesus is right with us in the person of the Holy Spirit, loving radically, giving extravagantly, forgiving unconditionally, reaching out to the least and the lost and the last, transforming the world simply by working to transform the world around us. When we say we believe in the Holy Spirit, it means that we believe that God is still helping us make sense of our lives and understanding God's purpose for us. It means that God is giving us the power to accomplish what God has called us to accomplish. It means that God is working through his followers that the world will be able to see God's reflection brighter than our own. And that the sail that we put forth might be open to being blown to new places and to reach new people and to transform the world. That when people are looking for the unimaginable, maybe they'll look for the church doing the unimaginable. Friends, Northwest Hills United Methodist Church might not be the largest sail out in the regatta, but I have a feeling that God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is going to continue to do miraculous and mighty works through Northwest Hills United Methodist Church. That God is nowhere close to finish working through you and through me to transform our community, our neighborhood, our homes. May we open our sail. May we catch the wind. May we allow it to blow where it will. May we hang on for the ride. Let us pray. God, we do indeed love you, and we thank you for this time of worship. We thank you for the opportunity to meet here in this place, be part of this sail. God, we know that there's so many sailboats, and we're thankful that we're part of this one this day. We thank you for all the ways in which you have blown it, moved it. God, we thank you for every person on it. May you continue to allow us to invite more people, that your sailboat might continue to transform the world by your love and by your grace. We love you and we thank you. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen.